Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 94. This is our Celebration wrap-up. We've taken a week or so off after Celebration. We are back now, fully refreshed and ready to talk about the experience we had down there. Tonight, I'm joined by my regular co-host, Chris. Chris, how are you tonight?
I think I finally recovered from Celebration, so I'm good.
Yeah, you were kind of down after Celebration. I mean, we'll get to that a little later, but I got to pick you back up because, I mean, it was still a good time. But. And then we have a new voice actually here with us tonight. Many of you may know him in our Slack channel from his name. He goes by Qui-Gon Tim. Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, guys. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm good, yeah.
Glad to have you here. We're going to bring you on here as a guest for this episode. You were down with us at Celebration, and kind of get your experiences on the good and the bad of what Celebration was. So we're looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that. We do have a quick update for the network first, though. The silence you hear is the missing voice of Eric. Since Celebration in Orlando, the network's had some significant changes occur. For personal reasons, Eric is no longer part of the Random Chatter network. Chris and I are now going to move forward with the network. And you'll see some adjustments as we go forward. We're going to continue to strive to bring you guys, really high quality content. We get some changes planned, but you'll have to kind of sit tight and see how that plays out. We're not really sure what order things are going to happen in, so stick with us over the next couple of weeks, and you'll see some new things happening, and hopefully for the better. So, just want to give you guys that quick update, and now we're going to get right into the discussion. So, it's a Celebration. This is the yearly or every other year gathering of Star Wars fans in one venue or another. This time it was in Celebration. It was in Orlando, at the Orlando Convention Center. Now, there was some good and some bad. We had quite a bit of people up in arms over several things on the first day, at least. And I think things got a little bit better as the convention went on. But of course everybody dwells on the negative and rightly so, because there was some bad things that happened. So I guess we should just kind of go right into it for what we had there. On day one, there's a lot of problems, and this kind of surprised me, because Reed Pop ran this. Reed Pop is not new to doing large conventions. And yet we had some problems that I think are kind of, beginner level problems of things that you'd have maybe your first, time doing a convention if you were an organizer. But, the lines, I guess, are the first thing we'll talk about. First off, I think going into the Celebration, there was a little bit of confusion as to what the lines were going to be, how things were going to happen. They had some stuff on the website about when you could line up, when you could do the overnight things, how you get the overnight things, how you get into the other lines. And they had a lot of text, but it didn't seem like a lot of substance. I think going into this, people were kind of, unsure as to what to expect. Did you guys feel confident going into the first day as far as what you were going to see line-wise?
No. Well, I had expectations because this was my third big convention, and both of the ones previously were Celebration and New York Comic Con, so I had a decent idea of what to expect with lines. But this was far worse. and I'm not even talking about like lines inside the convention hall. Like, we're talking about like stuff outside the convention hall to just get in.
Exactly.
On that first day.
Right. I mean, a few of us met up, on Wednesday. We got in Wednesday the day before. And people had started to form a line, inside that. I guess at 8 o'clock that night, they had lines forming inside for the 40th anniversary panel. And of course, 40th anniversary, this is a big deal. I mean, we're expecting all kinds of stuff happening. Maybe we're going to get a trailer for the movie, or maybe we're going to see, Harrison Ford, who knows what's going to happen. And, I think a lot of us decided we weren't going to wait in line overnight, because first off, I'm too old to sit on a concrete floor at this point in my life. I'm like, you know what? It's not that important to me. It'd be great, but I don't really feel like sleeping on concrete. But I remember hearing like about 8 o'clock that night that the line inside the convention center for the overnight sleeping area was full for the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's only 8 o'clock. It's like, it just started. It's full already. Or maybe it was like 9 o'clock, but I'm like, wow. And then people in line were waiting in line to see it on there was two other stages they were doing streaming to, I think. Was it two or one?
Three.
Three of the stages. Okay.
Wait, no. Was it? They had the, it was on the Galaxy stage. They had the Celebration stage. Oh, no, it was two other stages. It was a celebration stage and behind-the-scenes stage.
Okay.
Three, actually, if you count the Star Wars stage.
Yeah, the stage on the
Star Wars show
floor.
Did their thing out on the floor. Yep.
Right, but that wasn't something you could line up for. That was just kind of out and about on the convention floor.
Right.
Yeah. So now, you know, people had waited in line, and the next morning, I think we all got up and had breakfast early. I don't know, was it 6 or something we met at? We figured, okay, we'll go over there, we'll get in line a little bit after they open the doors for the main hall when people can come in for the morning. And we split up at some point. I think I had to go back to my hotel room to get something out, and there's a catwalk structure across the road so you don't have to kind of cross traffic and stuff. And I was using that, and you guys were on the same side of the street, so you guys didn't bother doing that one.
Mm-hmm.
I came walking across, and eventually they diverted me down to the ground, and the guy I was rooming with was a VIP holder, so he was going through a special entrance. And then the Orange County Sheriff's Officer came running. He said, "No, sir, you're media. You can come this way." I'm like, "Okay." So followed back upstairs, went inside. Now I'm in the convention. I'm like, "Well, it's pretty easy." I'm here. But I'm like, I'm not sure how to get to the floor because the floor was still locked. They wouldn't let people in. And I texted you, Chris, and you said, you know, "I'm in line. Where are you?" I'm like, "Well, I'm inside getting ready to go into the VIP part of the room."
Mm-hmm.
Because I went pressing through there. You're like, "I'm not even in the building yet."
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think that was the main crux of the first day's problems, that they didn't have a good handle on what to tell people.
Yeah. We actually had to get in the regular folks line and go that way. So I didn't get in till way after you. And then the security, too, which was just a nightmare on the first day. There were multiple metal detectors that you had to go through, and mm-hmm. the bag checks were just hardly.
Oh,
I would hardly
they didn't
call
even
them
check
bag
my bag.
Checks.
Yeah, no, they didn't even check them. They just I handed it to the guy. He handed it back to me when I walked through the metal detector. I'm like, okay, that was worth it.
And then the lines for each, like, we were standing there after we finally got in there. The one lady said, "Okay, so media, you line up with everyone else." So we just lined up. Well, then that she said, "No, media goes to with the VIP people or the medical people." So we get with the medical people. And then she's like, "Well, no, wait, media goes to the line beside the medical people." So then we moved.
Wow.
And it's funny that because Tim and I actually lined up together in the same line.
Okay.
And then I went to the, quote, media medical VIP line, which should be faster, you would think. No, Tim got in before me and his line was longer. So.
I waved.
Yeah,
That's nice of you, yeah. No, Tim, you've got a security background, too, so this must have been just killing you, seeing the lack of security, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, a little dismaying. I mean, certainly a lack of a physical presence, aside from a couple of people at the doors, kind of, you know, metering the lines from the line outside the building to then get into the line inside the building. And certainly, you know, as you said, Lou, the folks at the metal detectors, in doing the bag checks. Yeah. The bag checks, you know, they barely glanced into your bag before they kind of waved you on, and,
mm-hmm.
Understandable. I mean, you know, you've got tens of thousands of people and you need to move them along pretty well. But you also have security procedures for a reason, and, you know, you have to be able to temper that.
Exactly. There's a happy medium they have to, you know, cover, I guess. But it did seem a little bit weird where they didn't really even check things. They just kind of waved you through, and that was it. But you know, now to get matters even worse, once you go through the security, now you're inside the building in a queue to either go into one of the panels or onto the convention floor. And I wasn't planning on going to one of the panels because I knew the lines were just, you know, full anyways from the night before. Well, people that were waiting in line in the morning actually ran past the people that had been in line overnight and got seats in the panel, and some of the people that were overnight didn't get seats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think I told anybody that it happened to exactly, but I do remember hearing that from quite a few people in conversations. I mean, that's just unfathomable to me. If you're going to sleep in line overnight and you're going to tell me, okay, you stay here, you sleep on this concrete floor, you're guaranteed a spot in the main stage to see the live presentation of this, you better get a seat.
Yeah.
To have them turned away. And that happened not once, but twice. The second day, I think Joel's brother, one of our other listeners, Joel, his brother waited in line right for the Last Jedi panel.
Mm-hmm.
and was told he had a seat and then didn't get one. He was in one of the streaming stages where he saw it on a screen.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, not for nothing, but if you're going to tell me I'm in a room where I'm going to get a seat in the main panel and see people live in front of me, I better get a seat.
Yeah. He actually started lining up at 6 o'clock on Thursday night, and, you know, the panel's on Friday morning, and he didn't get in. I also know somebody else that lined up at 8:30 that night and also did not get in.
Wow. Now we will say, we're not going to mention a name here, but somebody that we know was able to show up with a media pass at about 10:30 on Thursday morning, come in through security through the VIP line, just kind of breeze right through, went upstairs to where the main stage was, the Galaxy stage, and they saw his media pass and kind of brought him right in and gave him a seat.
Yep.
He was like 15 rows back at the main stage for the... I'm like, that's pretty impressive. I mean, media wasn't supposed to have any special access, and I kind of agree with that. They're not really meant to put us up in front of people, but they ushered him right in, gave him a seat. And I'm like, they were telling people for hours this line was full and the room was not going to be available to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of waltzed in and got a seat.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him, but I'm like, wow. Other people that didn't get that same experience were none too happy. So for day two, they hired new security. There was definitely a visible presence of different security people at the gates, at the doors.
Mm-hmm. They also made multiple entrances to the building, because before there was just one entrance to it,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you had to deal with. Well,
that seemed to make a big difference. Yep.
Yeah. The multiple entrances definitely helped, and I believe they also set up multiple security entrances too. So that made a big difference.
So now day two, they still had some issues with lines. I mean, people that didn't get to the main stage, people that didn't get to see stuff they wanted to see, but I think it was better. Now, the other thing that hampered them as well, we had another listener of ours that was down there, who was also one of the volunteers for Read Pop, mentioned that I think they said, what, half of their volunteers didn't show up on the first day?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they showed up, they got their shirt and their badge, threw the shirt away, and just kind of went to the con. And, you know, shame on them, because that's just wrong. But that can't help when you're planning on having a certain number of people to work a convention and you're down by half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you recover from that. I think, you know, given that kind of a thought, they did remarkably well, even what they did for the first day. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're short-staffed that much, that can be pretty crippling. So, mm-hmm. you know, certainly some of the issues they had on the first day, with the understanding of that limitation, you know, they kind of get a pass on. But still, mm-hmm. you got to be able to adapt and overcome. And I'm sure, you know, this happens to them every time that they have at least a certain percentage loss of volunteers. But to lose about half is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you can normally plan for losing half of your people. that would be a bit hard. But now, do you guys think that they did enough? I mean, I felt personally by day three, you know, on Saturday, things are running remarkably smoother than they were on the first 2 days. And I thought even Friday was pretty good compared to Thursday. You know, do you think they did enough? Were you happy with what you saw, their improvements?
I personally think there was a lot of improvement. And of course, it's interesting because Saturday was the busiest day. And they were improved enough that Saturday things moved, at least from my perspective, better than they did on Thursday. You know, Friday was kind of the intermediary day where some things had improved. There were still some other problems going on. And not to say that things were perfect on Saturday, because they certainly weren't, but they were a lot better. That's pretty much what I saw going on.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Chris?
I do agree with Tim that it obviously got better definitely by Saturday. Like, Saturday and Sunday, in terms of logistical things, were relatively smooth. I will say that I did have a weird personal experience. Saturday was the Star Wars Rebels panel. And I was lucky enough to get a wristband for that for media. And I think they started letting people in, because the convention started at what? 10, and 10. Then the panel was at 11. So they let us in at, we were supposed to start lining up at 9:30. Well, what I did was I went to the catwalk, because this is where they put one of the new entrances. Went to the catwalk, and I had my wristband on, and I had my media badge, and I went up to them, and there was a huge line of people. And I went up to the security guard and was like, "Hey, I'm media," and showed him my wristband. "I need to be in there." He's like, "Okay, just go through that door." So I go through the door, have no security whatsoever, like at all. Like, no one even asked to check my bag. I just walk through, and then I'm going to, let's see, I cross the catwalk, go inside the building. There's an entrance to a convention hall that isn't even, because you know how you had the queue, which is the main entrance to the show floor.
Right.
Well, there was also a separate set of doors that were that you could also enter the show floor by, but you weren't supposed to be able to enter in that way. Like,
yeah,
at the very beginning of the day, but people were. So
that was a little strange.
The people that wait that are waiting in the queue hall, which we did this on, I think it was either Friday or I think it actually might have been Saturday that we no, it wasn't Saturday. It was Friday that we did this.
Yeah, Saturday you guys went in late. Saturday I went in early because I wanted to go to the Celebration store.
Yeah,
which is another thing we'll talk about in a second. But but no, you're right though, because when you come across the catwalk, that was not in through security, but you were into the hallway that was right outside the show floor.
Yeah.
Where you would walk around and go to all the other panels and stuff.
Yeah.
But you were technically inside of security at that point.
Yeah. And, I mean, there were a fair – I mean, it wasn't like a huge, huge, huge group of people trying to get in that way, which they did. They did just walk right through. But these like, you know, they didn't have to wait in the queue hall with everyone else like they were supposed to.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to say. Because, you know, you can get in that way when Free Flow starts, but Free Flow doesn't start until well after 11 o'clock. So, but anyways, I went up the I think the, what was the middle stage? The Galaxy stage, I think, is where they had the Rebels panel. And it was all the way on the top floor, so you had to get escalators to reach there. Well, they had, the security people had blocked off the entrance to the escalators, and people were trying to go there, and they were like, "We were just now told by security to come up through this way." And then the people at the escalator was like, "No, you can't come this way. You have to wait in line for it," or something like that. So as people, even on Saturday, it was, you know, misinformation was around. And I just went right through them. I just showed them my wrist. They didn't really ask to see my wristband. I just held my arm up and went walked right through up the elevator to my seat, which was reserved.
Oh, boy. You know, and that was my same experience with Saturday, because Saturday I knew I wanted to go to the Celebration store. I'm kind of a pin hound. I wanted to get some of the exclusive stuff, and I wanted to get some of the pint glasses. Well, you know, I said, well, let me get in there first, because the Celebration store fills up very fast, and the lines are extremely long. So I got there early. I went down, got into the queue. I was the earliest in the queue I had been all week, and I'm like, oh, this looks pretty good. And I was still a two-hour line after I got to the Celebration store, because there was so many people ahead of me going right to the store. If I had done what you had done, just kind of hang up at the doors and walk right in, I probably could have been ahead of all those people.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would be kind of cheating. But that was just what I did Sunday by accident. I came in through that way, and there was a door open, and I went up to them and said, "No, you gotta wait till 10. I said, "Okay." So it's like 10 minutes away. I'll wait. And I walked right in. I'm like, "Hey, I'm on the floor way ahead of everybody that was waiting in line overnight, and I wasn't showing any special access."
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, they just didn't really know the procedure, and people could have gotten, you know, around the system and gotten in line for, you know, the Hallmark exclusive or Funko or, you know, whatever they had a lineup for.
Yeah.
And now, you know, those lines probably hampered people from getting into things, too. I mean, I only know one experience of I actually got my tattoo on Thursday, and the artist that did my tattoo, she had a 10 o'clock appointment for the first day, and the guy missed it. Because he couldn't get in.
Yeah.
He didn't get until like after 11 o'clock. And she's like, "I didn't take somebody else." You know, so he got bumped, and I think he actually got a tattoo done later. But, you know.
See, that, now you would think that in an instance like that, you would be allowed to get in first.
Yeah, but I mean, how do they manage that? I mean, there'd be so many people saying, "Oh, I've got this special thing. I got to do this."
Well,
you know.
So here's what I would do. Because the tattoo thing is, obviously, that costs money. And if you have like a special note or a pass or a ticket or something that says, hey, I need to be at the Tattoo Pavilion at 10 or 10:30, whatever time it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like official Reed Pop celebration, all that stuff on it. Because
right.
The Tattoo Pavilion is
they
part
probably
of that.
Done it. Yep,
they could have, you know, there is a way. They didn't do it, but, you know, there is a way that could have been mm-hmm. done. It just wasn't.
Yeah. And, you know, and now I'm thinking back this because originally I was like, oh, I'm going to get my tattoo on the first day, just get it out of the way, get it done. And she's like, well, what do you want to do? I want to do it first thing? I'm like, no, I want to kind of see the convention, kind of get the lay of the land first.
Yeah.
Not even thinking about there be a line problem getting in. I mean, that could have been me getting bumped on the first day to a different time slot. You know, I'm like, oh, good thing I didn't do that.
But yeah, there's a lot of cascading effects that come from some of the mismanagement issues that they had. There was a need for, certainly there's the economic need. So when you have folks who are getting tattoos, folks who had early appointments for the photo hall, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, those folks who were delayed. You also had folks who were in line with us, like from the 501st. And, Lucasfilm, Reed Pop, Disney utilize a lot of 501st volunteers for kind of their official ceremonies and, you know, escorting VIPs around and showing up on stages and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there was actually, I can't remember which day it was. I think it was Saturday. That morning, now granted, the line was a lot shorter that I was in, but I had folks next to me who were 501st members who were really in a hurry to get in, and it was after 10 o'clock because they needed to be at a particular location at 10 o'clock for an official reason.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to talk about a second ago was the Celebration store. And did either one of you guys go to the store at all during the week convention?
No, I did not go into the store. I realized that after hearing about the atrocities on the first day with the store, I was not going. I mean, there would have been some cool stuff to look around. And that's what I liked about Anaheim. You could see the items in the store.
Right.
I mean, and yeah, I know there was a problem with people like, you know, reaching in, stealing something and walking away without even going inside. But like they had this barricaded off. You couldn't even get inside to see what was there. So
you couldn't see in at all. It was all curtained off. Yeah. Now, Tim, did you go to the store at all?
No.
I'm the only sap that went to the store out of the three of us.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who I asked said, you know, yeah, we were in line for 2.5 or 3 hours just to get into the store. And I was enjoying other parts of the con, and I really didn't want to spend 2.5 to 3 hours waiting in line.
Yeah, you know, I didn't either, and I figured, okay, if I go there first thing in this day, nothing else I want to see, I'll do this. And afterward, I'm thinking about the time I spent. I'm okay. I got to the hall early to get into the queue line. I waited in the queue line for, I don't know, 3 hours. Queue line gets in. I go right to the Celebration store. I'm in that line. That line was 2 hours. I'm like, okay, so there's, you know, 5 hours in now for shopping. I was in the store for all of about maybe 10 minutes finding what I wanted to. The store was pretty well picked over. It wasn't like Anaheim where there was a lot of stuff to look at. This was, you know, only here's a shirt. Oh, it's an extra small. Or, you know, they had nothing left really. And then I got in line at the end to get out, and you know the main thing I wanted was pins. And last time they had the pins on display racks, you know, on the floor. Now they're all behind the register, so that slows down the checkout process even more because they had to. Oh, let me see that one, and let me see this pack, and let me see. Oh, can I see that one? No. Oh, okay. So that slowed that whole thing down there. But I was in line for an hour to check out, so I'm like, okay, 6 hours to buy stuff. Like that was a really bad use of my time. But, you know, I'm happy I got what I got, but still, it's like, just didn't seem like the right way to go. And when the line was letting people in, you know, they let so many people into the store at a time, they had a little counter for how many people could be in there and how long the line out was going to be, I guess is what they're basing it on. So the guy lets people in, they're going in, he stops it right at me. I'm like, that figures, you know, I'll wait another 5 minutes for the next time. Yeah. But I'm talking with the guy, and he was evidently the guy that Mary Franklin hired to run the store this time as opposed to Anaheim. To improve the process, to get things better. And we talked for, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes about the whole process and what he was seeing. And, you know, there's some room for improvement still, of course, but he was talking about the transaction time and they were getting things down. It was better than it had been in Anaheim. And he mentioned to me, like I said about the pins behind the registers, and that's kind of slowing things down. I said, yeah, a little bit, but you know, you don't understand. We lost thousands and thousands of dollars in pins at Anaheim because people were taking them to check out. And while they're in line, opening up the package, throwing the package away, and putting the pins in their pocket.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so that is a real problem. But you could do it another way by having a counter inside the store, let people see them behind glass, and then pick out, I want pack number 1, 3, and 5. Mm-hmm. Go to the register and say, I want 1, 3, and 5, and be done with it. If you're not, you know, trying to see things and know, oh, which one's that, which one has this pin, and who, I want this guy, which pack is he in, type thing. And then the funny part was at the very end, I'm checking out. I bought a couple of pins, packs of pins, and a couple of the blind packs where you don't know what you're going to get. And the guy says to me, the register, he goes, if you want to open those blind packs up now and see what you get, I can trade with you if any duplicates. I'm like, okay, I'll take advantage of that. I mean, sure. But I'm like, that's just slowing the slide down even more. I mean, they do this for everybody. And they did. I'm like, it was very nice of them. But I'm like, there's people waiting behind me. I'm like, okay, well, that's not my problem, I guess, anymore. But yeah, so the store thing, I think they got to fix that somehow. I mean, I wasted way too much time in that line. I know a lot of people did. That's why the line was so long. But, I mean, 5 hours or 6 hours is my experience, and that just doesn't fly well. I mean, I'd like to be able to order the stuff online, either have it shipped to my house or pick it up there at Celebration or, you know, do something with it at that point. But having the line be that long, no, and then having the poor selection of stuff was even worse.
I have a question. In the past, and this is my first Celebration, did they put the Her Universe stuff into the Celebration store in the past?
I'd only been to Anaheim before, and Her Universe had their own booth on the floor of the hall last time, and they were selling stuff there. I don't know how much they had. I don't know if it was the whole selection of their store. But yeah, that was on the main floor.
Yeah, see, and I think that was probably part of that congestion at the Celebration store was a lot of folks who really may not have necessarily been so interested in the Celebration store stuff, but were going for Her Universe. And I know I would have liked to browse some of the Her Universe stuff that they had for my wife. But again, I really wasn't going to wait in line for hours.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think they lost a lot because of that themselves, at least a lot of exposure. And not to harp on the negative things, but, you know, was the problem the venue? I mean, was the problem just the number of people? I mean, this, every Celebration gets bigger. You know, a lot of the people that had been to Celebrations in the past were complaining about this one and how poor the lines were. People that had their first Celebration experience didn't really have that negative feeling because this was their first time going. They were just excited to be there. You know, I'm a second-time attendee, and I think I had a mixed bag of both. I had a little bit of bad taste and a little bit of good taste. Mm-hmm. You know, what are your guys' thoughts on that? I mean, some people said the venue may not have been appropriate for the convention with this many people. The stages didn't hold enough people to see the things.
I think the overall venue size was probably okay. I think it, you know, they moved people around well enough. But I think definitely one thing that did get them was that stage size. And from what I heard, and I'm sure you guys can corroborate this, that the stages in Anaheim, particularly the main stages, were a heck of a lot larger and able to accommodate folks. You know, there were some missteps here, like the rooms that they used as the queue halls to hold the lines for the people who had the wristbands to wait to get into the stages were a fraction of the size of the stages that they were putting people into. Mm-hmm. And so that just created a huge mess because they're trying to pack several thousand people into a much smaller room that wasn't intended for it. And so when they wanted to, you know, with the original intent of having orderly lines where people would go into those rooms, they would wait in line, and then they would exit those rooms to go out to the stage that they had a wristband for in an orderly fashion. They're actually having to essentially push through crowds of people who are outside that room, who are also wristband holders, who are basically told, well, you have to wait out here because we can't put you into this holding room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things became an issue. And I went through that twice when I was there, and just kind of shook my head at all of it. You know, the staffing issue again was a problem. And I think because of the size of the venue, they obviously needed to have more staff. And we talked about, you know, only from what we heard, only about half the staff showing up. And there definitely was not, you know, visibly, you simply could not see enough staff. In an event like this, you should be walking around or in, you know, one of these rooms and be able to look around and say, ah, there's a staff member and there's a staff member and there's a staff member. And hey, I have a question and I can identify you because you have a very brightly colored shirt. And so I know that it's you. And some staff members had a certain colored shirt. Others just had black shirts, which really I didn't think was a great idea, since probably about half the people at the convention were wearing black.
Right.
And there were some issues there. And I heard, I don't know that there was an official number out, but the number that I heard, and I think that we've been kicking around, was around 70,000 attendees, which is a pretty massive number. And obviously they weren't all there on one day.
Right, it was over the 4 days.
Yeah, spread out over the 4 days, but still, you know, Saturday at least had a significant percentage of those.
Mm-hmm.
I think the venue itself was not bad. However, I think the capacity made it bad, or the amount of people that attended was way beyond what. Like, the capacity may be able to technically make it work, but it didn't. And it's not really... I mean, we could probably sit here and brainstorm, okay, ways to make everything flow better. But you're not going to... Like, a 70,000 people, not total, in, like, one day. Convention is just... Even if you have, like... 30,000 in one day, or 20,000, or however many people attended that convention, it can hold a previous Star Wars celebration like it has before. This isn't the first time it was at that venue, but
right.
The one of this size, and now Star Wars is at a different level in the mainstream than it is, or that it was before. And it's honestly, Celebration has really moved away from the whole fan aspect, and now it's a more mainstream thing. So I don't think that this venue was able to handle it. I mean, my biggest gripe was, the layout to get up to the main stage, which was the second capacity stage, the Galaxy stage, was not good. But my main problem was the layout of the show floor. Like, I enjoyed Anaheim because you had the autograph hall on one side, and then beside that was a large queue hall, and then on the other side of the opposite side of that was the show floor, where they had exhibitors and vendors, and the artist alley was there, the tattoo pavilion was there. And also, that was like in the back corner of that part was the queue hall, was the queue line for the main stage. Everything just, yes, it was crowded, but it wasn't overwhelming. And I'm not a claustrophobic person, but there were times, especially on Saturday, when I felt just very overwhelmed by the amount of people that was, you know, trying to navigate the show floor. And I couldn't even imagine what it would have been like if I would try to go to one of the main panels.
Right.
So I think that the convention center and the way it was laid out, and just the way, because I don't think it was utilized properly. There were areas of the convention center that were just completely barren because there's nothing there. And I think there's a larger issue with Celebration as a whole that I won't get into right now. I want to say that it was mainly problems with the venue and the staff of the venue and the security. I think Reed Pop severely underestimated the amount of people and the problems that would be happening on day one. That being said, I think what they did to help fix things for the rest of the days was a massive improvement, and I think they should be deserved credit for that. Obviously, the first day of any convention, it's, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. And people are sitting here blasting Reed Pop, which, yes, they do deserve criticism, you know, because it's fair. But they also deserve praise for making things better on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which they did.
Absolutely.
For the most part, I think some of the, you know, I don't know how much they have, how much control they have of where people set up and, you know, security and who decides where the queue halls are and how lines are formed. I don't know how much of that is under their control. I would assume that they collaborate with the venue, and I think it was not just one person's fault or one group's fault, but the parts that Reed Pop had control of, I think they failed on Thursday, but they succeeded Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, I think that's fair. I mean, I kind of agree with everything you said there, Chris, tell you the truth. With one exception, I mean, I think that, you know, day one, you say you don't know what to expect. I mean, they sold the tickets. They know how many people are going to be there. They should have expected what was going to happen. And if the stages were that much less capacity than they were in Anaheim, you're going to have a problem if that was the case.
Here's the problem with that. And honestly, I don't even know where, because I only went to two panels and both of them were on the Galaxy stage, which in terms of capacity is number two in the listing. The Celebration stage, which in Anaheim was the main stage, like the largest capacity stage, was the main one. And it was an arena off to the side, like on the side of the convention center. So it was kind of out of the way from everyone else. Whereas the main stage for Orlando was the middle tier stage, and it was kind of in the middle of everything. It was difficult to get to. You had to get there by escalator. The queue hall for it was ridiculously small, and it was combined with the Celebration stage queue, which was the one for the big hall. So, like, while I was waiting in line for the Music of Rogue One panel, in the same room, not even separated by really any barriers, was the queue line for the Ian McDiarmid panel. And obviously the Ian McDiarmid panel line was much longer. So it went out into the, you know, out into the concourse, whereas mine was just, you know, there. But, like, why put it in the same room?
Right, right.
And it's the way it was, the queues were just handled, and the layouts of the venue just... It can work with a convention, as we've seen with previous Orlando celebrations. It just didn't work well with one of this size.
Yeah, and that's something I'd like to find out. I need to write a letter to Reed Pop about that and kind of get some answers straightened out for myself, my own opinions. Because, I mean, you know, if you had how many people are you expecting per day at the convention, and you've got people going to these panels, you know, what percentage is going to fit into a panel? I mean, unlike like in your Comic Con where the main stage may have four things on it that day, and they're all very anticipated by everybody going, but, you know, not everybody there that day wants to see every single panel.
Yeah.
At Star Wars, everybody's there for Star Wars. So if you've got even 20,000 people on one single day, and you got a stage that can fit 5,000 people, well, you know, what percentage does 20,000 want to see that panel? Not everybody wants to see panels, but is it half of them? Is it three quarters of them? And then how many people are going to get turned away?
Yeah.
You know, that is where the expectation of people going into a celebration thinking, I'm going to see everything and I'm going to get in line for everything, and then end up seeing nothing or very little because they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They had a bad taste in their mouth.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said, and maybe this is a discussion that we have for another time, but there's something to be said, I think, for considering a change to how they get people into the particularly the larger panels. The on-site essentially having to wait in line three times to get into a major panel, that's not great. And, you know, as you said earlier, Lou, and I echo it, I'm too old to sit on concrete for hours. You know, it's I don't think that system works well. You know, for people who want to overnight, I guess, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But, you know, during the convention hours to be waiting in line. From an economic perspective, that is, I think, money lost to the convention and to vendors, because people, instead of waiting in line, might be out spending money. You know, they might be out in on the vendor hall spending some money. And I think they can better anticipate ahead of time some of those numbers for these large panels by having some type of either a pre-registration or doing an online lottery, which that might be the most fair way to do it. You know, instead of necessarily a first come first serve type of thing, where some people will say, oh, well, you know, those were, they opened it up during work hours, so I couldn't get online to do it, or whatever the case may be, you know, just
but,
like,
but, you know, some people do
Lego did, you know, do an online lottery.
But, you know, some people do feel the part of the experience is the waiting in line.
True.
You know, my roommate, for example, he bought the VIP Jedi Pass to get some line jumping privileges, but this is the first time doing that. He's been to four or five of the celebrations, and he said that, you know, every single one, I paid my dues. I sat in line. I waited overnight, you know. And that's
true.
Some people feel that's part of the experience. I mean, not for me, but, you know, hey, some people feel it is. Enough about the bad stuff. What did we really like? What was your favorite part of Celebration? Tim, we'll start with you.
Oh, gosh. Well, like I said, I was a first-timer. So just the, you know, kind of big picture, the overall experience itself was just awesome. You know, really even waiting in line the first morning, while that was a little daunting with a line that wrapped halfway around the building, you know, it was still fun. It was enjoyable getting to see people and talk to people and just kind of have that experience. I you know, I kid you not, when I first finally got in Thursday morning into the main hall, into the vendor hall, I was kind of like, I was holding back tears because I was overwhelmed. I was happy. I was surrounded in Star Wars. And I was surrounded by thousands of people that were just like me and that were there because they loved Star Wars. And that to me was just like such a cool experience. You know, I spent some time on the vendor hall, kind of continuously, and, you know, out in the lobby area, checking out, you know, people in cosplay and some of the droid builder stuff and that kind of thing, and some time in some panels. So I mean, overall, just big picture for me, it was, I just enjoyed the environment and the people.
Cool. That's a great answer. I love that. Chris, what about you? What was your favorite takeaway from the weekend?
Well, before I answer, I want to echo Tim's statement and say that I think everyone has that kind of moment when they go to their first celebration. I certainly had one when I went to Anaheim. I'll never forget. I was walking through the hall, and all of a sudden, out of just somewhere, was playing the Force theme, and I just got chills, and I got really overwhelmed with emotions, and I really just wanted to start breaking down and crying. But speaking of breaking down and crying, I have two big memories from the convention. The first is that obviously I didn't get to go to the 40th anniversary panel, which I, in hindsight, really wish I could have, because John Williams was there. And people that know me well know that I love the music of Star Wars. I love John Williams just as a composer in general. I love music. Being able to be in that room, like, I would have given up my privileges for the rest of the convention just to get in that room. Like, I would have sold someone my pass or given it to them if I could have been in there to see that moment. I thankfully did get to see it on the StarWars.com stage because they were streaming it and they turned up the volume for everyone. And like he played, or the orchestra he was conducting play Princess Leia's theme as after they did the Carrie Fisher tribute, which was just gut-wrenchingly sad.
right.
Then they played like the Star Wars main theme, and then I think Imperial March, and then Throne Room, and it was just, even though I wasn't in the physical room, just like hearing that and just like watching it was, it just gave me chills, and I did start to tear up a little bit during various parts of that. But I think also my second one was just meeting people. I am an introvert at heart, but I told myself that I was going to socialize, and that's exactly what I did. I met a ton of new people. I made sure to take selfies with people that I wanted to take pictures with. I didn't even get to meet everyone. And that is what sucks about, like, there was plenty of people that I missed or that I didn't get enough time with. And I mean, you know, that's going to happen when it comes, you know, when it comes to a convention. But I knew that I was at least going to have a good time with that when literally the first person that I see as soon as I go through security on Thursday is Paul Herman. And I'd never met Paul in my life until that moment. And he gave me a big hug and was like, Chris. I was like, Paul. It was a great moment.
Nice.
But yeah, that was definitely the highlight for me, was meeting people and socializing. I even did stuff at the Rebel Scum Force.net booth, and interacting with other fans is something that I've always wanted to be, from a booth perspective and from an exhibitor perspective, see how that kind of experience is, interacting with people. We did a trivia game, and people could come and we'd ask them Star Wars questions, and if they got enough right, they would win something. Like, that was really fun to me, and especially interacting with all the, you know, fans of all types. We had older fans, we had younger fans, we had people my age, we had people that are a generation below me. It was just really a really cool experience for that. We had families. It was fun. And you know, for someone that's very introverted like me, it was a experience that I'm not used to, and it took a lot out of me. Don't get me wrong. I was very exhausted when it comes to that kind of stuff afterwards, but it was well worth it.
Awesome. I think I have kind of the same experience as both of you guys do. I think just being surrounded by Star Wars fans for 4 days is a treat in itself. You know, it's just the atmosphere. You're surrounded by things you love. You see things that you never thought you'd see. You know, that was really awesome. Like you, Chris, I wish I was in that 40th anniversary panel to hear John Williams perform with an orchestra live. Just knowing I'm seeing it live on a screen, that he was in the same building, kind of made me feel warm and fuzzy too. You know, it was like, man, it's really cool. I wish I could have been there, but you know, wow. But I think overall, my favorite experience was probably getting to see the trailer. I mean, that I thought was worth the price of admission all by itself. I mean, I know you could see it at home too, but I got to watch that at the StarWars.com stage for the Star Wars show, in a massive crowd that I couldn't get out of if I tried to, because it was just not moving. But it was cool to be able to see that, and you couldn't hear it the first time they played it because everybody was cheering and yelling so loud. And then you know, they played it the second time and a third time. It was just wow. You know, it's like, you know, we're getting our first scenes from the new movie, and I'm excited more than I was before. So that was my favorite moment, I think, of the celebration. Maybe a close second to my tattoo, because that was nice to get art that I'll never get rid of and always have with me now. So
I do want to do one honorable mention. Unfortunately, I can't remember the guy's name, so forgive me because I'm bad with names. But it was right after you got your tattoo, Lou, and you were finishing that up, and there was a guy there talking to you. And then I walked up, and he said, "Hey, you're Chris, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." He said, "I listened to you on the Cordcast."
Nice.
And I was like, "Yes."
Nice.
Like, awesome. Probably listened to Echo Base too, but the fact that you mentioned Cordcast as the where you know me from,
awesome,
was good. So don't remember your name. I just know that I met you. So
that's awesome, yeah. Chris. That's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of our show, but one thing I did want to discuss with you guys a little bit before we get off is, you know, what your thoughts were of the trailer. I just said it was one of my favorite moments of celebration. You know, what were your thoughts of seeing that? Are you more excited for the movie now or kind of, you know, compared to what you were before? Are you thinking we're going to get answers to this movie, or is this more build up to what the final, you know, Episode 9 movie is going to be?
For me, it was overall meh. Nothing in the trailer really stood out to me as being groundbreakingly awesome. We had the last line of Luke saying that the Jedi must end, which is, you know, thought-provoking, but unlike the first teaser, where we had the, you know, we had the shot of Rey and Finn and Kylo Ren in the forest with the lights, with the weird lightsaber, and then the Falcon on screen and the TIE fighters and the Star Wars music, was for, it was cool, and but it also gave me like an emotional reaction. And I don't know if it was like part of it was, you know, seeing a new Star Wars movie, but I was expecting to get at least some kind of reaction from Last Jedi, because I even got a reaction when I watched Rogue One, or the trailer for it, that is. But I didn't get something this time, and it was just strange. I don't know if it was because this trailer did a lot of similarities to the, at least in structure, of the TFA trailer. It was a little bit longer than that one was, but the structure was similar. It had the burning mask. It had a surprise opening. It had the some kind of ships going across the sand or whatever it was. You know, there are some similarities. There are also some differences. You know, but
somewhere online a couple of days ago, I saw somebody posted a side-by-side.
That was me.
Top and bottom. Was that you? No, that I think me. I saw it. Okay, well, maybe you posted as well. I don't think I saw it from you. But wasn't that – I mean, that was pretty cool because it was almost shot for shot the same trailer.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a mashup of different trailers that were released from TFA and a couple things from the movie, but
the one I saw was split screen top and bottom. It was the TFA on top and Last Jedi on the bottom, and they played them, you know, frame for frame together at the same time, and they were almost identical as far as the shots, the way they were filmed, what kind of angles were on what shots. Mm-hmm. It was pretty eerie. As I was like, wow, you guys just took the same formula and did the exact same thing. Huh. Even down to, you know, at what point in the trailer this Christmas comes up, and it was the same timing, and you know, they had, you know,
same font.
but even that, you know, the ships that when they had, both trailers had a ship fighting scene, both trailers had the Falcon scene. In the Falcon scene, the Falcon zoomed across the screen in the exact same way. I was like, wow, it's kind of exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can kind of see what you're saying about not being excited, but I think part of that is just because...
Well, see, I'm already excited about the movie, so I don't...
Yep.
This trailer really wasn't for me. So, I guess, I mean,
in general, when The Force Awakens came out, it was a brand new Star Wars movie. The first one we're going to get, and we didn't think we're going to get anymore. This one is a continuation of that same story, so it's like, okay. You know, I mean, I can see where you'd say it may not be, there was nothing earth-shattering about the trailer that was like, wow, I got to see that now.
Yeah.
To me, it was more of just, I'm going to get more of what I'm used to seeing, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, Tim, save us. Are your thoughts different? Are you really excited now for this? Or are we just bringing this down?
No, I got to say, I'm actually kind of relieved that you guys have some similar thoughts that I do on it. you know, there were some great visuals, but quite honestly, the things that we saw were things that either we've seen before in terms of characters that we've seen before, ships, that kind of stuff, or things that we expected to see. You know, we expected to see Rey with a lightsaber, Rey having some... exercising some of her force ability, that kind of thing. So there wasn't really much in it that wasn't expected. There wasn't anything in it that was kind of on a grand scale. I was a little underwhelmed by it. And, it was interesting because after they showed that, then going to any panels or anything, a lot of the panel moderators in almost every panel that you went into started things off with, hey, what about that trailer? Is everyone excited about it?
Mm.
And I'm kind of looking around the room because everyone's going crazy. And I'm like, wow, okay, maybe I need to go watch it again. And I know obviously the moderators are, and the panel hosts are trying to, get people excited about it. And I think it is great. I mean, I'm not casting it down. I'm just saying it really didn't strike much for me. It didn't give us anything that I don't think we didn't expect.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I don't know, because when it comes to trailers, you're supposed to, you have a target that you're trying to get, and I think this one was just to kind of remind people, hey, The Last Jedi is coming out. here's a little snippet of
I don't think
didn't have the Falcon moment. We didn't
right
from TFA teaser one. We didn't have the Han Solo moment from TFA teaser two. We didn't have, well, the TFA full trailer was a completely different story, and so we didn't have anything like Tim said, and this I never thought about it this way. We got everything that we expected that we were going to get. We didn't get anything aside from that last line by Luke. There's nothing that was like,
you're right. It wasn't anything that we couldn't have guessed coming up, but you're right, I suppose, in that respect. But I mean, I think with this trailer, as opposed to other movies, I mean, most movies, the trailers are trying to attract an audience.
Yeah.
This trailer's not. This is just really paying fan service because we're all going to go.
Yeah. I mean,
this is not a question of, you don't give me a trailer, I'm not going to see this movie. No, it's just whetting your appetite for, you know, December. So.
Exactly.
I will say this. I was more excited by the poster.
The poster's
the
cool.
The poster that was very awesome. Yeah. I wish they had given one of those to everybody.
Here's my thing about that. You know, I was jealous when people got TFA teaser posters in Anaheim. I was jealous when people got posters here. But I'm just like, they're tiny. And I could go buy one at the store for $5.
Yeah, but it's one you got later. There. It's on. It's printed by them. It was, you know, it's official.
I'd rather have the big size.
I know. I'd probably get it. Right. I'd probably get it and damage it on the way home, so I'd be even more upset. So.
Yep.
Well, anything else you guys want to add? Anything I missed here that we wanted to just quickly talk about before we end the show?
The only thing I want to say is that I really had a good time at Celebration. I mean, there were certainly some things we've spent some time on the show, knocking some aspects of it and bringing up some things that were less than great. But it really was a good time, at least for me. I had a great time. I enjoyed it, and again, I enjoyed particularly just being around all the people and meeting a lot of folks like you guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling people that, and I even told my mom this when I got home, because she asked how everything was. I said, I don't know if I'd do it, you know, if I had the choice, I don't know if I would go to that specific convention again, just because it was very underwhelming. And I still kind of hold that. I would probably, like, if I could do it again, I would probably still go, but I would focus less on the content of the convention and just focus more on hanging out with people. And like making it an absolute priority to meet and chat and, you know, do things, because that was really the highlight. You know, going to the Carrie Fisher Gala, which was a great success.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even mention having our listener meetups, just, you know, seeing people that I haven't seen in 2 years was fun.
Play mini golf, you know, Team Bald Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
That was the best. Team Bald Guy won.
That's right. We did.
By a fraction of a point.
I know. Just barely squeaked it out. Well, I guess that is about it then. So I think we'll just close the show down now. If anybody has any feedback for us, please feel free to send us an email over at echobase@randomchatter.com. We'd love to hear what you thought of the convention, what your experiences were. Anybody that met us down there, you know, tell us how that went for you. Don't hurt her feelings though, but you know, just let us know how you like the convention. That'd be awesome.
You can find us online on our social media. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The Twitter account for the show is @EchoBasePodcast. The Twitter account for the network is @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
Just at my name. It's @LouSecki, LouSecki.
And Tim, how about you?
@QuiGonTim, that's with two M's.
T-I-M-M.
Yes, sir.
And don't forget, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com.
And of course, if you like the show, spread the word, help people find us, leave some reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. That helps us move up in the rankings and more people can listen to the show. And of course, tell your friends about us. If they like the same stuff you do, they might want to listen to us as well. We'd also like to thank all of our Patreon supporters. You can go over there and check that site out at patreon.com/randomchatter. Bear with us as we make some changes to the network, and we're going to probably tweak our perks there too, so we can get more good content to you guys. But if you want to help support the network and keep the lights on around here, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter.
Yep. And I will say quickly just about Patreon that if you're in Slack, and because right now it's at the $1 level, that won't be changing. So, you know, don't expect to have to pay more now to get in Slack. Like, right. It's going to stay at the dollar level no matter what. So.
Yeah, we like that interaction with all our fans. So,
yep. Oh, and one final word. Shout out to all the people that joined us in the celebration Slack channel that we made. I think at least, I don't know about other people, but it was good for us as a network, and we met some good people because of it and had good communication. So, yeah.
A lot of fun. It was a great tool.
All right. Well, Tim, Lou, it was fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Hopefully the next Echo Base will be a little bit more positive. But hey, that's why we're here, is to talk about everything.
The good and the bad, right.
Exactly. Keeping it real.
Yep. All right, thanks, everyone. Guys.